You're listening to EPN, the e-podcast network.
Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network, your channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who share business strategies and insights that can all help you build your business, leading to your business success. And now, broadcasting from anywhere between Brazil, South America to Los Angeles, California, it is your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Today, once again, in a continuing series, we are visiting with Mike Blake, president of Arpeggio Advisors in Atlanta, Georgia, a business appraisal and strategic advisory firm. When business owners and executives are faced with critical multi-million-dollar decisions, Arpeggio helps his clients make the right ones. Today, Mr. Blake will be discussing how to get the best price for your business in a sale. As always, Mr. Blake, welcome to Enterprise Radio.
Hi, Eric. Thanks again for having me.
Hey, you're welcome. So let's talk about getting the best price for your business in a sale, and how much control do sellers have in the price they attract for their businesses?
I think a common misconception out there on the part of sellers is that they just simply have to accept whatever price somebody is going to offer, and that the market somehow just operates in the way a kind of a dictator would, and that the seller just doesn't have that much impact over the price that their business is going to attract in the marketplace. And this is probably reinforced by the common misconception, which just grates my teeth every time I hear it, which is a business is worth whatever somebody is willing to pay. And that's a very popular expression, which implies that business owners really just sort of have to wait and hope somebody is going to come down from the heavens and pay some price for their business, and off it goes. But the reality is that there are lots of things that sellers can do to make their businesses more attractive and to command a higher price in the marketplace. And frankly, it puts a lot of control back in the hands of the seller to make sure they're going to be rewarded for the effort and the success that they've generated through the business they've put together over the years.
What characteristics get buyers most excited and thus make them want to pay top dollar?
Buyers like businesses that are what we call repeatable and scalable. So a repeatable business is one where you're making sort of the same process over and over again. It's why manufacturing businesses, even in today's economy, are still attractive from an investment standpoint. They also like businesses to have what's called scale. And what scale means is that the business can generate additional revenue without having to generate or make significant additional capital investments. So whereas on one end of the scalability model is what I do for a living, which is professional services. Services are generally not very scalable because at some point, in order to provide more services, you have to add more bodies. On the other end of the spectrum are internet companies. This is why they've been so popular, is that if you're operating a retail, an e-commerce website, or even a membership website, in order to service more customers, you really don't need to add more capacity. The website's going to take care of it. Everything's automated. So to the degree that you can have a business that's scalable, that's going to be attractive to customers. To buyers. And then secondly, companies that are relatively stable and transparent. When a buyer can easily understand the business, can see a relatively stable pattern of profitability and growth, those kinds of businesses tend to get buyers very, very excited.
And on the other side of the coin, what scares buyers away the most?
The thing that scares buyers away the most, in my experience, is companies that have customer concentration. And I think that starts to concern buyers where, say, 10% of revenue comes from one customer. And as you increase in concentration, I know some businesses where they get half the revenue from one customer, that scares the heck out of buyers because That one customer could just up and leave. They could switch allegiances. They could go out of business. They could have some sort of disruption. And all of a sudden, the new owner of the company is left whole in the bag. The second area where buyers get nervous is when they see it as a key person issue in the company. So, for example, in a given business, the owner may have the lion's share of the customer relationships, and maybe you see an owner that has known most of their customers, you know, for 30 years. Maybe they all play on that same high school football team. And a new owner coming in is not going to have those relationships. The sale will disrupt them. And so there's no guarantee that those relationships are going to be transferable from the old owner to the new owner. And so to the extent that a company can make itself as independent of its owner as possible, that's going to make it more attractive to buyers.
Today, once again, we are joined by Mr. Mike Blake, president of Arpeggio Advisors in Atlanta, Georgia, a business appraisal and strategic advisory firm here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. You can also follow the show on Twitter at ePodcast Network, and we're also streaming on demand 24/7 on TuneIn Radio and the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. Now, Mr. Blake, should one consider having their financials audited in this process?
I think having your financial statements audited is a great idea. It's not that expensive for small businesses anymore, and it's going to give the seller a very clear, sorry, give the buyer a very clear idea in terms of what it is they're buying. There's also a sneaky reason for wanting to have your financial statements audited. Many companies, small companies, run personal expenses, or at least arguably personal expenses, through the business. A company car is just as much a personal car as it is a company car. A vacation becomes a business trip, and so forth. And while that makes your income tax statement, your income tax return look good in terms of minimizing your tax liability, your tax returns are then also going to be out there for a buyer, which means that the buyer thinks you're not making as much profit as you are in reality. And it also is out there for financing sources, especially the Small Business Administration. The SBA is a government program that provides subsidized loans to enable entrepreneurs to start or buy small businesses. And the SBA, especially in the last several years, has drawn a hard line where your tax returns are what your tax returns are. You can't go back to them very easily and say, well, I know we filed on a tax return, but that's not really a business expense. We're actually a lot more profitable than we look. And the government is taking a hard line saying, well, you can't just dumb down your tax return and then expect us to provide financing to enable somebody to buy your business. You can't have it both ways. You have to do it one way or the other. A financial statement audit can go a long way towards alleviating that, because now you have your tax returns, which say one thing, but you have an independent third-party financial statement audit that recasts your financials in accordance with what the economics are driving as opposed to what the tax code is driving. So a financial statement audit can be quite valuable to somebody trying to sell a business.
Also, should one consider hiring an investment banker?
So an investment banker can be an extremely helpful professional when you go out to sell your business. If you don't really know who the most likely buyers are going to be, and you're not afraid of a very high-energy, time-consuming process, maybe even a roadshow to go out and meet potential buyers, an investment banker can work wonders and help you get your price up so that you can be in a position where multiple buyers are bidding for your business. The downside of that is that's going to be disruptive. It's going to be distracting. And it's really going to be, you're going to feel like you're working for the investment banker sometimes. You're going to feel like you've taken on a second job. On the other hand, if you think you know who the most logical or likely buyer is going to be, most probably a competitor, maybe a supplier, maybe a customer, and you already have a relationship with them, and what you'd rather do is, you know, even if you're only going to get sort of say 80% of top dollar, it's worth it to you to get a relatively quick and friendly transaction, then there's not much for an investment banker to do, because the banker's job is to make the market. But if you think you already know what the market is, or you want a small, limited market, then, you know, working through your attorney and your CPA and your business valuation advisor may very well be enough in terms of the professional support that you need to get your business sold.
In conclusion, in all regards, any closing thoughts, takeaways, or a final tip, especially on getting the best price for one's business in a sale?
Yeah, so if you're serious about selling your business, have it appraised, understand what the fair value of the business is. If you don't know what the value of your own business is, then you're put in a very tough negotiating spot. You don't know if the deal you're being offered is a good one or a bad one. And so consequently, without a good rational understanding of what the value of your business is, you can waste a lot of time on deals that should be non-starters, or you could let some very attractive offers go by the boards because you're overestimating the fair value of your business and you may not be likely to get that. So, you know, it's worth the investment. An investment in an appraisal of your business should pay for itself 20-fold over the course of a transaction.
Rich information and content here in all regards. Where can listeners get more information about Arpeggio Advisors, Mr. Blake?
So you can just go to our website, www.arpeggioadvisors.com. It's ArpeggioAdvisors.com. We have information on there about the business buying process and other valuation-related materials as well.
Well, Mr. Blake, it's been our pleasure to have had you each and every time, and we certainly look forward to a future conversation once again right here on Enterprise Radio. All the best.
All right, thanks for having me.
And you're more than welcome. We have been speaking with Mr. Mike Blake, president of Arpeggio Advisors in Atlanta, Georgia, business appraisal and strategic advisory firm. And for more information and for contact, simply visit ArpeggioAdvisors.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Pick up our iPhone or Android mobile app for your exclusive mobile listening convenience. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks again for listening to Enterprise Radio here on the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. To subscribe for future programming, simply visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.